Well, I know that you have some insider information, and we can't really get into how you know it, and I hate to be too mysterious for our listeners, but it's a sensitive matter for you on a personal level. But what is the insight that you have gleaned from the insiders in this industry that could help us understand what happened down there?
Well, you know, I think one of the worst parts about this whole thing, in my opinion, is when you see a BP commercial, their big PR move the last year or so has been how green they are. You know, I mean, they show the beautiful fields of lilies and the happy family breathing the clean air and the crystal blue sky, all this great stuff talking about how they're such a green company. Well, it turns out that's not really reality. As you said, I've got contacts that are actually in the industry and know people who are out in the field working on BP projects, you know, oil wells, rigs, and completion jobs, all kinds of stuff. And to a person, every one of them have told me that in comparison to the other major oil companies, BP is the most lackadaisical, least caring, get it done as cheap as you can, as fast as you can, and damn the torpedoes. And to me, that really is offensive. You know, in light of their PR campaign and the whole sales job that they're putting out there. And a case in point is the dispersant that they're using that apparently has created or helped to create. The thinking right now is that it's certainly, if not completely responsible to a great degree for these huge plumes of oil at, you know, down in the depths of the Gulf. Well, the dispersant they're using, their home country, the United Kingdom, wisely banned it from their waters. The EPA of the United States politely asked them not to use it here, but it's big oil. And guess what they used down in the Gulf?
Yeah, they use this stuff. It's dangerous. It kills everything it comes into contact with. It disperses the oil. I know today, I guess there's this story, it was in the Washington Post, about this this new plume that they found 75 miles away from where the Deepwater Horizon exploded. It's like 20 miles long. It's 3,200 feet deep. And, you know, they did just found it because the dispersal chemicals, you know, sort of diffused this stuff and put it under the water so you couldn't easily see it. But that stuff is as bad as it gets, and I don't understand the government saying, hey, don't use it, and them using it anyway. We don't have an ability to regulate that?
Well, you know, I think their hands are kind of tied. Think about it. I mean, big oil is big money. Politicians, God bless them, get lots of money from big oil. And, you know, every segment of the government is dependent upon that industry, as they are several other industries. So if you're going to, you know, lay down a law and say, okay, BP, you can't use this dispersant, you can't do this, you can't do that, you really run some risks. And at the same time, the American public is screaming for us to get off of the, you know, dependence on Arabian oil and Mideast oil. So it's a really confusing political situation, but at the end of the day, I'm with you. You know, if the UK says, look, you can't use this, and in the North Sea and other logical and smart free countries have laid down the law, look, don't use this stuff in our water, why didn't we? That's a great question. You know, it's a wonderful question, and one I would personally love to hear answered.
Anything more exotic in ways of conspiracies regarding oil? I know for a couple of days there was a lot of speculation that it must have been a North Korean sub that torpedoed that thing out there, and, you know, there doesn't seem to be much proof for that. Anything along those lines that your members are getting into?
Yeah, I mean, it really runs the spectrum from that exact story to, you know, something along the lines of, you know, President Obama had just signed the deal saying, okay, we're going to allow drilling offshore again. It's a good industry. It's going to get us off the Mideast oil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, this was a planned thing that they were going to pop this deep-sea well the day after he signed, or it may have been the day, I don't remember now, but, you know, within 24 hours of him signing this into legality that they can resume exploration and drilling offshore, you know, we have this debacle. That's one of them. I saw another one to where it's believed that HARP got a little too powerful and screwed the thing up. And as far out as, you know, visitors from other planets came down and are trying to teach us a lesson about destroying our planet.
Get out of town. Blame it on aliens. Really?
Yeah.
I would think they'd blame it on Greenpeace or something before they blamed ETs.
Well, that one actually interested me because, you know, there's a long and historically very rich tradition in ET wanting to help us help ourselves and not destroy our planet, help us save our planet. So that one kind of grabbed my fancy for a few minutes. You know, the thought that the benevolent ETs come by like a scolding parent and they do this and they get us all upset and get us all worried and we're running around in a panic and then they come down at the last minute and I guess absorb all the oil, fix the problem, and say, there, now listen to us.
Yeah, well, I've been hearing that stuff for a long time like everyone else has and haven't seen any evidence of them helping us. If they want to help us, now's a good time. Plug the oil leak. Of course, it should never have happened to begin with. There should have been the safety precautions and safety equipment that would have prevented this from happening. It's a tragedy. These 11 people lost their lives, and we were hearing reports today about safety procedures that were not followed. There was nobody in command to press the button, but you know, there was technology that could have prevented this thing, technology that BP is forced to use in other parts of the world that we let them slide on, and this should never have happened.
Well, you know, there's an insider bit of information that I got right after the story broke that there was a piece of technology that may or may not, and we won't know until after the BOP is pulled up and inspected, but in the event that it was the communication cables between the BOP and the control center that broke that caused the BOP to fail, and the BOP is a blowout protector, blowout preventer, there was an additional piece of technology that BP declined to pay the $500,000 to have on site that was a sonar actuator for the BOP. So if something happened to the cables between the BOP and the control room, this was a failsafe that would have transmitted the signals for the BOP to actuate via sonar, but it was a $500,000 extra bucks, and they said, nah, we don't need it.
Well, I know that you have some insider information, and we can't really get into how you know it, and I hate to be too mysterious for our listeners, but it's a sensitive matter for you on a personal level. But what is the insight that you have gleaned from the insiders in this industry that could help us understand what happened down there?
Well, you know, I think one of the worst parts about this whole thing, in my opinion, is when you see a BP commercial, their big PR move the last year or so has been how green they are. You know, I mean, they show the beautiful fields of lilies and the happy family breathing the clean air and the crystal blue sky, all this great stuff talking about how they're such a green company. Well, it turns out that's not really reality. As you said, I've got contacts that are actually in the industry and know people who are out in the field working on BP projects, you know, oil wells, rigs, and completion jobs, all kinds of stuff. And to a person, every one of them have told me that in comparison to the other major oil companies, BP is the most lackadaisical, least caring, get it done as cheap as you can, as fast as you can, and damn the torpedoes. And to me, that really is offensive. You know, in light of their PR campaign and the whole sales job that they're putting out there. And a case in point is the dispersant that they're using that apparently has created or helped to create. The thinking right now is that it's certainly, if not completely responsible to a great degree for these huge plumes of oil at, you know, down in the depths of the Gulf. Well, the dispersant they're using, their home country, the United Kingdom, wisely banned it from their waters. The EPA of the United States politely asked them not to use it here, but it's big oil. And guess what they used down in the Gulf?
Yeah, they use this stuff. It's dangerous. It kills everything it comes into contact with. It disperses the oil. I know today, I guess there's this story, it was in the Washington Post, about this new plume that they found 75 miles away from where the Deepwater Horizon exploded. It's like 20 miles long. It's 3,200 feet deep. And, you know, they did just found it because the dispersal chemicals, you know, sort of diffused this stuff and put it under the water so you couldn't easily see it. But that stuff is as bad as it gets. And I don't understand the government saying, hey, don't use it, and them using it anyway. We don't have an ability to regulate that?
Well, you know, I think their hands are kind of tied. Think about it. I mean, big oil is big money. Politicians, God bless them, get lots of money from big oil. And, you know, every segment of the government is dependent upon that industry, as there are several other industries. So if you're going to, you know, lay down a law and say, okay, BP, you can't use this dispersant, you can't do this, you can't do that, you really run some risks. And at the same time, the American public is screaming for us to get off of the, you know, dependence on Arabian oil and Mideast oil. So it's a really confusing political situation, but at the end of the day, I'm with you. You know, if the UK says, look, you can't use this, and in the North Sea and other logical and smart free countries have laid down the law, look, don't use this stuff in our water, why didn't we? That's a great question. You know, it's a wonderful question, and one I would personally love to hear answered.
Anything more exotic in ways of conspiracies regarding oil? I know for a couple of days there was a lot of speculation that it must have been a North Korean sub that torpedoed that thing out there. And, you know, there doesn't seem to be much proof for that. Anything along those lines that your members are getting into?
Yeah, I mean, it really runs the spectrum from that exact story to, you know, something along the lines of, you know, President Obama had just signed the deal saying, okay, we're going to allow drilling offshore again. It's a good industry. It's going to get us off the Mideast oil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, this was a planned thing that they were going to pop this deep sea well the day after he signed, or it may have been the day, I don't remember now, but, you know, within 24 hours of him signing this into legality that they can resume exploration and drilling offshore, you know, we have this debacle. That's one of them. I saw another one to where it's believed that HARP got a little too powerful and screwed the thing up. And as far out as, you know, visitors from other planets came down and are trying to teach us a lesson about destroying our planet.
Get out of town. Blame it on aliens. Really?
Yeah.
I would think they'd blame it on Greenpeace or something before they blamed ETs.
Well, that one actually interested me because, you know, there's a long and historically very rich tradition in ET wanting to help us help ourselves and not destroy our planet, help us save our planet. So that one kind of grabbed my fancy for a few minutes. You know, the thought that the benevolent ETs come by like a scolding parent and they do this, and they get us all upset and get us all worried, and we're running around in a panic, and then they come down at the last minute and, I guess, absorb all the oil, fix the problem, and say, there, now listen to us.
Yeah, well, I've been hearing that stuff for a long time, like everyone else has, and haven't seen any evidence of them helping us. If they want to help us, now's a good time. Plug the oil leak. Of course, it should never have happened to begin with. There should have been the safety precautions and safety equipment that would have prevented this from happening. It's a tragedy. These 11 people lost their lives, And we were hearing reports today about safety procedures that were not followed. There was nobody in command to press the button. But, you know, there was technology that could have prevented this thing, technology that BP is forced to use in other parts of the world that we let them slide on. And this should never have happened.
Well, you know, there's an insider bit of information that I got right after the story broke that there was a piece of technology that may or may not, and we won't know until after the BOP is pulled up and inspected. But in the event that it was the communication cables between the BOP and the control center that broke, that caused the BOP to fail, and the BOP is a blowout protector, blowout preventer, there was an additional piece of technology that BP declined to pay the $500,000 to have on site that was a sonar actuator for the BOP. So if something happened to the cables between the BOP and the control room, this was a failsafe that would have transmitted the signals for the BOP to actuate via sonar but it was a half million extra bucks, and they said, "Nah, we don't need it."